The Lord be with you. It feels like we can't create a better future, but Jesus has already planted that better future within us now. Let me explain what I mean by that. So I have with me today a picture of a valley oak tree. This is actually the old Hooker Oak that was right here in Bidwell Park, but there are thousands of valley oak trees all over the city of Chico and Butte County. And they are a blessing to us all. Oak trees, they provide shade, which keep our city cool in the summertime. Their wood can be used to make furniture. They provide food for the birds and for the squirrels and even for the first humans that lived here. Oak trees can grow to be over 100 feet tall. Their branches can spread out over 100 feet wide. And the most amazing thing about an oak tree is that it can fit in your pocket. It's true. I've got one in my pocket right now. Here it is. I hear some groans out there. Some of you are saying, Pastor Ben, that is not an oak tree. That is an acorn. Very corny. Yes, very good. To say that acorn, that's not going to provide any shade. It's not going to provide any wood. And if you're going to eat that, it's only going to be a simple bite. That is useless. And if you were to say that, you would sound like the people in Corinth when Paul tells them that our hope in Jesus is for a resurrection of our body that will live forever. The people say to Paul, Paul, have you seen my body? This living for eternity is not good news. To which Paul responds, fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you put into the ground is not the body that is to be, but a bare seed. You see, Paul is saying that our death and resurrection is like planting a seed or an acorn in the ground. What goes into the ground looks very different from what comes out of the ground. And yet, it is the same thing, the same being that goes into the ground as comes out of it. We place in the ground this simple, boring acorn, and God causes it to be transformed into a giant, life-giving miracle of nature. And so it is with our bodies. But here's the thing. The difference in glory between an acorn and an oak tree pales in comparison to the difference in glory between our body that will go into the ground and our body that will rise from it. We don't get an exact description of what our resurrected body will look like, but Paul tries to spark our imagination of what it could be by inviting us not only to consider all the different kinds of bodies that we see on earth and animals and fish and birds, but Paul says, imagine the bodies in heaven. Imagine the bodies of the moon, the sun and the stars. These are the starting off points for what we might imagine our resurrected bodies to be like. And you might say to yourself at this point, well, if our resurrected bodies are going to be so radically different from what our body looks like now, in the same way that an oak tree is so radically different from an acorn, what's the point of even saying it's the same body that rises from the ground? Why not just say, hey, God's going to make you a whole new body after you die. It's going to be awesome. Because to say that we get a whole new body after we die is like me saying to you, hey, I want you to make an oak tree out of scratch. And you'll say, I can't do that, right? Only God could do something like that. And you'd be right. And it's the same thing if we say, after we die, we get this whole new body afterwards. You don't need to worry about this body. If we say that, what we're saying is that we might as well just wait to die because there's nothing to do for our future other than wait for God to do it after we're dead. But if instead Jesus comes to you and Jesus places an acorn in your hand and says to you, bring forth an oak tree. Well now there's something for you to do. Right? It is still true that only God can transform this acorn into an oak tree. But you can participate in that transformation. You can help shape how this acorn becomes an oak tree, what kind of tree it becomes by where you plant the acorn, by how you water it, how you fertilize it, how you weed around it. And so it is with the resurrection that is to come. The life that is to come for us, it can only be created by God. Only God can bring forth the kingdom of God. Only God can raise the dead to new life. But Jesus has given us a seed of God's kingdom. Jesus has given us an acorn of that resurrection reality. Jesus gives us the acorn of ourselves, of our bodies, of our lives, and the lives of the people around us. And Jesus, having given us the acorn of these bodies, of these lives, Jesus says to us, bring forth the kingdom of God. And then in Luke chapter 6, Jesus tells us what we can do to tend the acorn that we are given so that it might grow into God's kingdom. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone takes from you your cloak, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to those who beg from you. If anyone takes your goods, do not ask for them back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That last bit, we call it the golden rule. And a version of it is found in every major religion in the world. Because on some instinctual level, we understand that the only way to transform people into the children of God that Christ intends is to love them in the way that Jesus describes. We know that if Jesus gives us an acorn and says, turn this into an oak tree, we can't do it by smashing it, right? Even if we were to smash it into a pulp and then try to shape it so it looked kind of like a tree, there's just not enough in this to make that happen. And so we have to give this acorn what it does not yet have so it can become what it is not yet. We have to give it nutrients from the soil. We have to give it water. We have to give it warmth from the sun so that what is already present in there, the possibility of the future that is to come, can be nourished and come out. And so it is with us, with the acorns of the lives of the people around us. We are called to help people become the children of God that Jesus intends by nurturing them with the nutrients of love, by watering them with grace, by warming them with forgiveness. We know this is true in our bones, and yet in our bones, we don't want to do it. Why? Because it takes forever. Look, if an act of compassion could instantly transform a mean person's heart, we'd all be kind to each other. This is why I love sports movies, right? Every sports movie, the plot is exactly the same. It doesn't matter what the sport is. It's always about a team of misfits who can't win any games because they're mean to each other and they don't believe in themselves. And so a new coach comes into town, and despite the mistreatment that he receives from everyone, he teaches the players about love, teaches them to love each other and love themselves, and united and transformed by this love, the team goes on to win the championship. Right? Every sports movie is never about sports. It's about how the golden rule can bring forth the kingdom of God and win a trophy in under 2 hours. But the truth of the matter is, In real life, it takes so much longer. It takes years. It takes decades. It takes a lifetime. And we are really bad at continuing to do things when we don't see any results. And I think that's a part of why we as a society are struggling so much right now. You read about how airplanes have experienced this massive uptick in fights breaking out in them. There's this sense of people being on edge, and I notice it not just in the sky, but people that I talk to here on the ground, everyone's just a little bit more tense. And I think part of it is we've stopped believing in the power of the golden rule to transform us. It used to be that the golden rule was a pretty safe bet, right? You could pretty much figure out how others would want you to treat them based on how you'd want to be treated yourself. But COVID has changed that completely because each and every person has a completely different comfort level around COVID. And it's not just whether some people want to be vaccinated or unvaccinated, masked or unmasked. It's down to what kind of mask. It's down to whether or not we shake hands. It's whether or not we meet inside or outside. It's about what kind of size of a crowd is too big of a crowd. No two people have the same set of standards for this, including people who are married to each other. And so absolutely every interaction that we have now becomes a negotiation. Every single interaction, whether in our home or at the supermarket or here at church, becomes a negotiation, and it often feels like someone is asked to give up either their freedom or their safety. And we've been doing this for 2 years. We've been doing this for 2 years, having been told that if we all just do our part, right, if we all just social distance or wear our mask or get vaccinated, then this will be over and the world will be transformed once again, and it feels like it hasn't. We aren't seeing the results, and so I fear that as a society, we are giving up on the golden rule because we don't see its fruit. Jesus knows that we will face this challenge. And so Jesus says to his disciples, after he says to them, love your enemies, do good, lend, he says to them, expect nothing in return. Jesus tells us not to expect that Hollywood ending. Jesus tells us not to expect to see the transformation of the love that we put out into the world. But he says to do it anyway. And he says, for those of us who are willing to live out that golden rule, your reward will be great. And what is the reward? He says, and you will be children of the Most High. We learn to love our enemies. We learn to turn the other cheek. We learn to do as we would have done to us so that we can be transformed, so that we can become the children of the Most High God that Christ intends. Jesus goes on to say, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. And so the question then becomes, well, from whom will we receive all these gifts? Certainly not from our neighbors, from whom Jesus tells us to expect nothing in return. And not even from God, who has already given us every gift in Christ. You know, when Jesus tells us that as we give, we will be given in return, Jesus means from ourselves. We receive these gifts from ourselves. For when we practice not judging others, we start to learn how to not judge ourselves. And when we practice not condemning others' faults, we learn or start to learn how to not condemn the faults in ourselves, when we practice forgiving others' failures, we start to learn how to forgive our own failures. When we give love and generosity, we receive a world of love and generosity. Because what we give is what we get. The reality that we give to others is the reality that we give to ourselves. This is why we nurture the tree, not in hopes that we will see it transform the people around us, but in hopes that in the acts of kindness that we commit, we will see ourselves transformed by them. And seeing that transformation in ourselves here and now gives us hope to keep tending those acorns with love and care. It may feel like we can't create a better future for our world, but Christ has already planted that future world within us. You are the seed of God's kingdom. You are the acorn of the resurrection reality. Within you is a reality more wondrous than we can begin to imagine. So may we nurture it. May we tend it with the love and the grace that we give others, so that we may grow together into God's kingdom. Amen.